broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. We are not at Liberty University today. We are here in Brooklyn, New York. Welcome to my home, where we're broadcasting our show. Of course, the entire city pretty much shut down, but we are good here in our coronavirus bunker. It is a state-of-the-art facility, and we're doing good. I hope you are, and I hope that you and your family are taking the precautions. Look, you got to stay at home. Keep yourself isolated. Let's follow the guidance and the advice of the White House here, and let's see what happens over the next couple of days or couple of weeks or, well, Lord only knows how long. But I've got to tell you, folks, after April 30th, I think it's going to be very hard to keep red-blooded American patriots inside their homes. I really do. Folks are wanting to get back to work. So we're going to talk about that today. Also, what you guys are doing to cure cabin fever. Give us a call if you have some advice, 844-747-8868. In the meantime, I do want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Our good friend from the great state of Colorado, Congressman Ken Buck, joins us. Congressman, hope you're doing good.
I'm doing great, Todd. Thank you.
Hey, look, before we get into to what's going on up on Capitol Hill with China, there was a story we referenced earlier in the show. Out in Denver, there is it's the appliance factory, and these guys were forced to shut down by the state. They've been getting these citations. They've been found to be out of compliance with public health orders. And I guess they're, your refrigerators and stoves are non-essential products here. What do you say to all of these folks out there, business owners who are just trying to survive through this thing?
Well, I'm not even sure they're just trying to survive, Todd. Really, I think what they're trying to do is provide an essential service to Americans. And they weren't just shut down. They had their the doors chained shut by the government, which is really scary. I think if people need refrigerators, if they need freezers, if they need certain appliances to survive at home, given the stay-at-home order, it's only right that a company is able to provide that. And so I'm disappointed that the mayor of Denver made that decision, and I hope he will reverse himself. Obviously, the store has to do their best to warn people about social distancing and to take certain precautions. But really, at a time like this, we've got to be as flexible as we can to allow businesses that provide essential appliances and other goods and services to stay open.
Yeah, to your point, the NBC affiliate, 9news.com, says that all of their locations, I guess they're what, a chain or have a franchisor, all of them are going to be padlocked. That's just insane.
It is insane, and it's scary. It's scary, the authority that we are giving government right now. I just got off a call with the governor of Colorado. There are beds available in Colorado. There are ventilators available in Colorado. Obviously, they anticipate that there may be, more need in the future. But the needs right now are not out of control. And I think we have to use common sense.
Yeah, we've been saying that a lot, but instead, the New York Times has come after us, and the NBC News out of New York's coming after anybody who wants to somehow say that, yes, this is a serious situation, but is not, the apocalypse here. You've got to be smart. You've got to protect yourself. And what's going to happen is going to happen.
So, Todd, I was in law enforcement. I was a prosecutor for 25 years. The reality of these stay-at-home orders are that we will see social pathologies increase. We will see increased suicides. We will see increased domestic violence. We will see increased drug abuse. All of those things are based on past experience, will rise. And those are dangerous also, and those cost lives also. And there has to be a balance when you consider the cure and the disease. And right now, I think we are imbalanced.
We had Congressman Jody Heiss on in the last hour of the show, good friend of yours. He says that China's going to pay for this. And I know that you are co-sponsoring a resolution condemning the Chinese. You think that's going to happen?
I don't know what the political will is on Capitol Hill right now, because we have been gone for a while. And it isn't just a matter of frustration and retribution. It's a matter of reality. The Chinese have been rogue players economically for decades. The nature of their government is such that they don't share information, and they punish on a regular basis dissidents in their own country, including doctors who tried to bring this disease and the potential damage, the potential downside of this disease to the public awareness. And so I think that it is absolutely necessary that we take steps and lead the world community to not punish China, but to make sure that China reacts in the future in a way that is consistent with what the world needs from a country as large as China and as important on the economic stage as China.
How are things going in your district?
You know, I think people are very frustrated. I think there's a lot of people that are going stir crazy right now. And the reality is, when I go take walks, I see some things that are heartening, frankly. I see a lot of families spending time together. And I think that this is an opportunity for parents to get involved in their kids' education and to communicate with their kids and become acquainted again in some ways, especially those teenage kids that tend to have a life of their own. And I think that there are some positive things that can come from this. At the same time, I see a lot of frustration, and I see a lot of people that are bewildered. We have 10 million people applying for unemployment right now in this country, and in many areas of the country, we don't see a disease that is threatening to young, healthy people. And so there's a lot of questions that need to be answered when we have turned the curve on this disease.
You're right about that. Well, Congressman, we really appreciate your great insight here, and hope you and the family stay safe back in Colorado.
Thank you very much. God bless you, Tom.
All right. Great American patriot right there, folks. Congressman Ken Buck, and he speaks the truth. And I'm glad that he introduced this resolution. And we've got to hold Congress accountable, got to hold their feet to the fire on this, folks. We absolutely do. By the way, you want to talk about the overreach here in Los Angeles. Mayor Eric Garcetti, he wants citizens to rat out people that are violating the safe at home order. So you're minding your own business in your home, and you, let's say you got to go out and take the dog for a walk. Your neighbor could call in to this hotline and rat you out. And the same thing is happening over in Nashville, Tennessee. And I am shocked. And all of you people listening to us on KWAM in Memphis, you ought to be glad that you don't live in Nashville. You know, there's a big interstate competition rivalry between Nashville and Memphis. And I got to tell you, my hat's off to the good people of Memphis. At least you guys don't have to worry about your neighbors ratting you out and turning you into the authorities. I mean, can you imagine? Could you imagine what's happening right now in Nashville, Tennessee, where you're minding your own business? Again, let's say you're sitting on the front porch of your beautiful home in the Belmont section of Nashville over near Vanderbilt University. And you want to get some fresh air, so you're not wearing your mask. You know, everybody's supposed to be wearing a mask these days. And imagine all of a sudden the police show up because your neighbor called the police on you.
Hello, is this 911? I want to report an emergency. My neighbor, he's doing it again. He's on his front porch, and he's not wearing a mask. I think I've got the corona.
This is what's happening in cities all over the country. And something is going on in L.A., though, because apparently if you rat out your neighbor, you're going to get a reward. This is what the mayor said. He says, you know the old expression about snitches? Well, in this case, snitches get rewards. All right, what is the reward? Are they getting like a cash prize for turning in people? I mean, could Caleb and Avery turn me in for not wearing a mask on the radio show and you get, what, a gift certificate? I don't know, Burger King?
Problem is we're in different states, so I don't think we would be able to contact New York 911, unfortunately.
Could make it a federal crime.
I have resources. I could get 911 up in New York. I'm just kidding. I can't do that.
That's the creepiest you have ever sounded, Avery.
Oh, I can get creepier, but I
was a little creeped out there myself.
I'm sorry.
I don't know, Mr. Mayor.
It's the lockdown. It's getting to me. I'm feeling weird.
Calm yourself, boys. We've got to be professionals. We've got to do this for the audience, for the listeners. We've got to maintain our sanity as best we can. So I don't know. Snitches get rewards. Back in my neighborhood, back home in Tennessee, in Memphis, Tennessee, where I grew up and I went to grade school at Hope P. Sullivan Elementary School, snitches got stitches. That's how that phrase used to go. I don't know about that. But do you see what's happening, ladies and gentlemen? We are turning, and I'm fairly certain this is going to be a temporary thing, but I can tell you this. Had Hillary Clinton been president, I think this would be a whole different story. A whole different story. And I really do hope this is temporary, but you're getting a taste of what it's like to live in a neighborhood that's patrolled by brown shirt fascists. That's what's happening, all of you people there in California and Nashville. All right, got to take a break. We're going to get to your calls in just a few seconds here. Actually, a little bit longer than that. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. And if you're going to rat somebody out, don't call. No, we're not going to take snitches on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We'll be right back.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Stearns.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Hey, just want to remind you, if you haven't already done so, be sure to check out toddstearns.com. And you know, we are still doing our big fall getaway coming up in October. And I got to tell you, I think that's going to be a really special weekend for all of you listeners out there. We're going to have about 200 of our listeners from around the country for a weekend of worship and celebration and great fellowship at the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville, North Carolina. We would love for you to be a part of that. And if you'd like information, go to our website, toddstearns.com. Click on the events tab at the very top of the page. All the information is there. We would love to see you there. Dennis Swanberg is our keynote speaker for the weekend, and the Irwin family, they're going to be doing music for us. You're going to love it. All right, let's get right back to the phone. Susan has been holding on for such a long time, listening to us on KARN. Susan, thanks for holding on, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, and welcome to Arkansas.
You know what? It's a mighty friendly state. I'll tell you that much, Susan.
It is a very friendly state. We've moved several times and always come back.
That's wonderful. I'm going to have to get over there a time or two. I'll be relocating to Memphis, so I'm not too far away from Little Rock.
You're not. We hit Memphis every now and then, too. So it's a three-hour trip.
Oh, that's good to know. So I'm writing that information down. All right, Susan, what's on your mind today?
So many things, and so many of your callers had such great points. And I have heard this a bunch of times since this started and in many other circumstances, but we always say, God, why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this? Why are you making this happen? When we should be asking God and ourselves, God, what do we need to learn while we go through this? What can we learn when we go through this that will bring us closer to you and make us better people? We look at it in the negative, and most of the time it's a positive. When something happens, he uses it for good, and we can learn if we have the right attitude instead of blaming or giving issue to people. Learn. My dad said everybody is a perfect example. And I saw a lady one time in the store, and she was horrible to a person. And I looked at him, I said, she's a perfect example. And he said, yes, of what you never should do if you want to live to be a grown-up.
Everybody is a perfect example. Susan, that's a good thought, actually. So, you know, I have, you know, it's a good reminder, though, because you're right. A lot of people say, you know, when they go through some kind of a crisis, you know, it's like, God, why are you doing this to me? Or God, why did you let this happen? And that's a great reminder of how we should, you know, how we need to approach these things.
It is. And a lot of times I find myself like frustrated because I can't get something done. And I'm like, okay, God, what is it you want me to learn? What am I supposed to be doing? And what is it that will benefit my life as I go through this? And it makes me see it in a whole different way. It just really does. You know, they were talking about Samaritan's Purse and the thing with, you know, the group that's very unhappy with them opening the clinic because they feel like it's segregation or it's, you know, issues between different people. This isn't a time to hate, and that's what they're saying. This is a time for everybody to jump in and find out what they can do. If one group isn't happy with another group, what they're doing, then you get out and you open a hospital and you help a group that you feel like is being left out. You know, it's not a competition. How can we help and how can we get in there and make a difference?
You know, it's like Mike Lindell, you know, the MyPillow guy, and Mike is going to come on the show next week. He's a friend of mine. God just got a hold of his life. And, you know, he was into drugs and alcohol and just the whole nine yards. And the Lord just did an incredible, you know, thing in his life. And he shared his testimony on my Fox Nation TV show last year. And it was incredibly moving. And here's this guy getting up on national television, Susan, and saying, you know what, we're going to stop making pillows for just a few minutes, or we're going to start making masks, and we're going to start doing what we can do. And there were people out there who were very critical of Mike Lindell. And it's really sad, because these are people, and I don't care who you are, and like Franklin Graham said, Susan, it doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent. This virus is killing a lot of people, regardless of your political persuasion.
It is, and I mean, no matter what your life choices are, find a group of people that you can work together with and do something that makes a difference. I told my grandson the other day, I said, get your little 3M printer out and find out what you can get to make maybe two or three masks that you can donate. His mom is a nurse practitioner. I said, you know, make them for your mom's clinic. Do something that will help and benefit other people. Quit. You know, I want the world to quit being mad at each other and start helping each other. And, you know, God could change our hearts towards everybody if we did that.
You know, you're right about that. And there's a group of ladies out in Houston, Texas at a church, and that's what they're doing right now. They got their sewing machines out and they're making masks. You know, that's the kind of thing. Those are the kinds of stories that we need to be telling. And, you know, we're glad to share those on the show. Susan, thank you for the call. And what a great conversation. I want you to give us a call back sometime. You got to promise to do that.
I promise I will. And one of the things, National Day of Prayer is coming up on May 7th, and we are challenging everybody to figure out how to do something on National Day of Prayer that will motivate and energize other people.
All right.
To be mentally and spiritually healthy.
Susan, got to leave it there. Got to take a break. Hang tight. Avery's going to pick up the phone. Folks, we'll be right back. I love this song. This is one of my favorite songs. Oh, you guys know this song. You gotta sing along. It's one of those songs you gotta sing along to.
I got a confession. I don't know this song.
When I wake up in the morning, love.
When I wake up in the morning, love.
And the sunlight hurts my eyes.
It hurts my eyes.
And something without
like a poetry song. Now, Caleb and Avery, you guys are going to have to echo the part here. It's coming up. Keep it. All right, let's keep that music going.
And the world's all right with me.
It's coming.
Just one look at you. And know it's gonna be.
May have to give me a hand. I don't remember this song.
Lovely day. Come on, guys. Lovely day.
Lovely day.
No, that's terrible. That's not a lovely day. That's a terrible day. Lovely day. Come on, guys.
Well, yeah, I did it one time. You told me it was terrible.
All right, we're going to practice. All right, so look, the guy who wrote that song, Lovely Day, you know who else loves this song? Levin. Mark Levin loves this song. And I was listening to him a couple of months ago, back when we could still walk freely in New York City, and he was playing that song on his radio show. The writer of that song and many others is in the news today. Very sad news in the world of music because he passed away. But we need you to tell us who wrote that song, Lovely Day. It's our trivia question for the day. If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. You don't have to sing, but we just need to know who the guy was. 844-747-8868. So look, a couple of days ago, we were talking about the coronavirus mashup songs. And we've been playing a lot of them. And we had the Benson family. You guys remember that, the Benson family?
How could I forget?
It's like a mom and dad and like all these kids. And they're all very musically gifted and talented. And so we had them on the show. And I don't even know if we had the music, but if we do, we'll play a little bit of it later on. But anyway, we had no idea when we had the two kids on the show that they were actually doing a Facebook Live video of them being on our radio show. And they posted all of this. So they kind of gave people a behind the scenes look at what was happening. And do you know, Caleb, who the star of this whole video was?
That would be the one and only call screener Avery.
Call screener Avery. We got to hear what you do. And so we had Caleb pull the audio, and we've got a link to the video on our live show blog. It is really worth watching. It's just really a lot of fun. Let's play this audio.
So they're getting the call right now.
Here we go.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi, is this the Benson Brothers?
It is.
Hi, this is Avery Bryce, and I'm Tom Starnes. This is Call Screener. How are you guys doing today?
We're good. Yeah. How are you?
All right, I'm very good. Thank you so very much for asking.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you for coming on the show. We are really excited about this segment. Mm-hmm. We have about 3 or so minutes until we get back on the air, and as soon as we do, we will get straight to you guys, okay?
Okay, perfect. We're excited.
All right, thank you very much.
Great.
Every day we have 2 hours.
Wow, so Avery, you have good phone manners.
Yeah, we are. I realized that I said we're really excited about the call. We all were. I was very excited to have them on the show, but I realized how monotone my voice sounded in this recording.
He said we're very excited. He didn't sound as excited. We'll hear that one more time.
All right, I'm very good. Thank you so very much for asking, and thank you for coming on the show. We are really excited about this segment.
I'm not picking up the vibe.
So I apologize to the Benson family and to those two fine young men. I was excited. Trust me. It was just a very long day.
So you know what the older guy was doing? He was playing solid. He was playing cards while he was waiting to come on the radio show.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fun segment. It's what, like 3 minutes long? We don't have time to play the whole thing. But the video is just, it's hilarious.
It's great.
But they were very excited to be on the show.
They were so professional. Very professional for their age.
Mm-hmm. And the music is great. You know, they play bluegrass and they do a cappella stuff, and it's really good. They actually, if those of you living in Memphis and in Arkansas, you guys know that Branson's sort of like the place to go. And Joplin. We've got a lot of listeners in Joplin, Missouri. That's the place to go, and they do a lot of the shows down in Branson. That's kind of like the Midwest version of, you know, Pigeon Forge and, you know, Gatlinburg, which is Redneck Vegas for us.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go.
Redneck Vegas. I like mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
All right. Hey, let's get to the phones here, guys. So anyway, well done, Avery. It's nice to, you know, I never know what you say, you know, when you're talking to people and guests.
That was the one exception. I usually bash you a whole lot on the calls.
It's like, I'm just kidding, dude, why are you really, really want to come on this show? What's...
I try to be nice.
Call a Limbaugh. What are you doing talking to Starnes? All right, Wow. This just took an odd turn. All right, let's go to the phones. Justin. Hi, Justin. How are you today?
Pretty good.
What was that?
Got a little overexcited with the music there a little bit.
All right, Justin, are you with us?
I'm with you.
All right. Now, Justin, tell us, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Scarborough, Maine.
All right. Are you listening to us on WLOB?
Yep. 100.5. I'm not sure what it is.
Oh, that is WLOB, the Big Lobster in Portland, Maine. That's Ray Richardson country.
So, awesome. Yeah, I listen to you guys every day.
Thank you. Well, we appreciate that. And are you guys doing well up there? You're surviving the virus well?
Yeah, we're doing pretty great. You know, same as the rest of the country. Everybody's pretty quarantined, I'd say.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we're hearing from everybody. All right, well, let's you want to play some trivia here. We played this song, Lovely Day. We need to know who wrote this beautiful song.
Hello?
Are you there? Did we lose Justin? Justin, can you hear us?
Yep, I'm still here.
All right, so who wrote the song Lovely Day?
Bill Withers.
Yes, that is correct. And you are the winner of trivia today. Yeah, Bill Withers wrote a lot of just really fun songs back in the day. And he passed away many. Yeah, go ahead.
He wrote one of my favorite songs ever, Ain't No Sunshine.
Oh, that's a great song. Lean on Me. He wrote Lean on Me. He passed away. He was 81 years old and had a heart attack and had heart complications, rather, and passed away. So certainly our prayers are with the Withers family, but his music lives on. And, you know, it's I got to tell you, just a really talented man there. Bill Withers, dead at the age of 81. Justin, we're going to put you on hold, and we're going to get you a prize package. And you know what I'm going to do, guys? I think I'm going to when I go out for my coronavirus walk later today, I will play some Bill Withers.
Oh, that's great stuff.
And Avery, I know you're a big music buff because you're doing the Instagram. What is this thing you're doing on Instagram?
Oh, wait a minute. I'm doing a 30-day music challenge. It's just something, you know, just like kind of fun, something to do to pass the time during this corona quarantine lockdown, whatever you want to call it. But it's just like a little template. Just asks you, like, I believe the first thing you're supposed to do is, like, you're supposed to name a song that one of the songs that you like that has a color in it. And so I chose Mr. Blue Sky.
Oh, that's all right. Blue Suede Shoes.
That too. I'm not big into
the Back in Black. AC/DC would probably be
Back
my pick.
In Black. That's a good black. One.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's fun. So if you're Avery, tell folks your Instagram handle so folks would like to follow Call Screener Avery on the Instagram.
Oh yeah, if you want to follow me on Instagram or Twitter, I believe it's the same thing, but my Instagram is Avery Bryson 16. No caps, no spaces. All one word. And Bryson is Bryson.
Very good. Okay, real quick, let's go to the phones. Do we still have Charlie listening to us on KARN? Charlie, thanks for hanging on with us. You're on the air.
All right. Hey, Mr. Starnes, pleasure talking to you. Calling from KARN land, off the grid, about 90 miles southwest of Little Rock, up in the Ouachita Mountains. Solar power, windmill, catchmill, and rainwater. Been up here for about 5 years, retired. Got up here about the same time Doc did. Washburn, you know him, so I don't need to say this, but I want to. That man is the epitome of professionalism and a human being, man of faith, and Little Rock is blessed to have him. And it was a pleasant surprise to hear you earlier this week. I've been having my eye and ear on you for a few years. I don't know if I mentioned it. I am an ex-radio guy. You're a fresh a breath of fresh air. You're professional to the max, but your spirit is right on, brother. So kudos to you and Avery both.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that, Charlie, and none finer than Doc Washburn in my estimation. So you guys are blessed there at KARM with a great radio host, great radio station.
Yeah, I've talked to Doc numerous times in this. Both times when he talked to Mark Levin, he interviewed Mark two times for his two books. And I called Doc. I said, dude, you got the chops to go syndication nationwide. I've never heard a better interviewer than you. And that's what impressed Mark so much to get him to occasionally host his show, as you know, too, in his absence sometimes. So he's a great guy. But anyway, I know my time's limited. I did want to make one point.
Sure. Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure it was okay. I've lived the preparedness lifestyle for about 20 years and in the last 5 years, as I mentioned, off grid. And I just wanted to let everybody out there who's not affiliated with the mindset of some of us folks, in a nutshell, there's a lot of us out here who have what you might call a biblical preparedness lifestyle, the kind of the Joseph save Egypt kind of thing, you know, Elijah and the widow and her oil. When I began my journey, the Lord impressed upon me, as I accumulated things gradually, we aren't hoarders. We've been preparing for years. But the Lord impressed upon me when I thought I had enough. He said, Charlie, you can afford to get some more, get some more. I didn't hear his voice or anything, but he said, because if you do, then you're going to be able to bless others. And I went, at first I went, eventually I said, okay, Lord, you know, I have enough food for 4 or 5 years for myself, but that ain't why I got it. I got it to help my neighbors. And then I can, the Holy Spirit under this tsunami that is approaching this land, the tsunami isn't from God, but his Holy Spirit is underneath working mightily in the hearts of a lot of people these days that haven't been sensitive to his voice. Now there's a little stress. That always brings out the greatness of the gospel and the great spreading of the gospel through a little bit of hard times. So we're going to be able to, I guess this is kind of the bright side of bad things that are happening, but the Lord is going to work mightily. And there's a lot of us, not just me, that are out here to bless others. I just took a, not to brag, I just took a care package down to my neighbor who's a combat vet with PTSD, who's on really hard times. He didn't ask for it or whatever, but God is going to bring a lot of people into the kingdom. And unfortunately, I think, I'm not, there's going to be some second, if this continues, there's going to be some secondary issues here, supply line disruptions and things like that.
And Charlie, you know, we were talking about that yesterday. That is a big concern I have is, you know, what happens when the supply lines break, especially for the big cities. But, you know, somebody like yourself, not only are you prepared, but you're also prepared to help your neighbors. And you're one of those good Samaritans, as the Bible describes what you're doing. And that's important. And I really hope and pray there are a lot of people that are following, you know, your example in being prepared for whatever happens. And you know what? You were prepared. That day came. It's sort of like Noah. I know people like to laugh at the folks who they call them preppers. But you know what? Nobody's laughing right now, are they, Charlie? Did we lose Charlie?
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, there we go. We got Charlie back.
Yeah, and you know another thing, Todd?
Charlie, I hate to do this, but we have to take a break here. I am so sorry, but here's what I want you to do. Give us a call back next week so we have a little bit more time. And I am very curious about how you prepared for all of this. And I think a lot of our listeners would be really intrigued with, you know, with how you do what you do. So can you do that? Can you give us a call back next week?
Todd, I'd love to do that. God bless you. And thank you for your time, sir. And that Avery's a great call screener, too.
Pat him on the back. Yeah, he's a keeper. Hang tight, Charlie. I want to hook you up with one of my books. So Avery's going to get your information. Folks, we've got to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
This has been a fast Friday. You know what I mean, folks? It just seems like the time just scooted on by. It's been a lot of fun. And we've had a lot of crazy stories this week, but we've tried to have a lot of fun. And I hope all of you new listeners in Iowa on KXEL and in Little Rock on KARN, I hope you sort of get a flavor, a little taste of what we do on this program. We get riled up a lot, and I've got a lot to say, but we also want to hear from you, and that means a lot. And I can promise you this, we're going to be doing some big events in your towns in the coming months once we're all freed from house arrest, and I will make that a promise. as we move forward together. And it's been, look, I keep bragging on you guys. I truly believe we have the best callers and the best listeners in all of talk radio. And you guys have been an encouragement to not just me, but to each other. And I'm excited to get Charlie back on the show next week. I want to find out how he did what he did. Because honestly, when all of this started to go down, I live in a New York City high-rise apartment. And I thought to myself, I was just sitting down one day, and I thought, well, you know, it's great that we have electricity and it's great that we have water, but what happens if the water, what happens if they shut off the water? What happens if the lights go out? I live on the 25th floor of a building. Those are a lot of stairs to climb to go down and get a bucket of water. What happens when the supermarket shuts down and there's no groceries? What do you do then? Oh, by the way, here in New York City, you know what they're doing? They're feeding everybody. The mayor just announced that. They want everybody not only to wear the masks, but they're feeding people so you can show up at a location and get a meal. It's just like Venezuela, I tell you. Oh, by the way, you've got, speaking of Venezuela, you got to check out this video on our Facebook page. Yesterday after the show, went over to my pharmacy to pick up some things, and I noticed this massive line of people. It was literally around an entire block. People trying to get into what they call the Park Slope Food Co-op. It's the local communist grocery store. So you have to work there. And if you don't work there, you can't shop there. So everybody has a buy-in. It's just really weird stuff. But literally, it was a 3 hour, up to 3 hours to get into the supermarket to buy your organic arugula and kumquats. And what's really funny about that, you go right around the corner, there's like a regular grocery store where all the regular people go to get your ho-hos and your, you know, Nutter Butters, and you could just walk right in. So you didn't have to wait 3 hours. It's bizarre. All that to say, we're going to get through all of this together, okay? Do not be scared. Do not be terrified. Do not be panicked. Let not your heart be troubled. So look, it's been a great week. Want to thank JP, our producer, Avery, Caleb, on behalf of all of us. You guys be safe out there. Whatever you do this weekend, be sure to go to church, just online. Okay, here you go. God bless America. We'll see you Monday. This is the Tom Stern Show.